Way back 2,000 or more years ago, when Jesus was walking this earth, he gathered around him a group of people, men and women, who became his followers. The Latin word that was translated from discipulus, they were learners, learning from him, learning about him. For us, we've been singing some lovely songs this morning from the 21st century perspective, looking backwards and looking forwards to Jesus, the risen King and Lord above all lords. But the followers of Jesus in the first century, they hadn't a clue about that. They were just following a man who seemed to be quite charismatic. When he spoke, they followed, a little bit like Alex Salmond has been in Scotland. People followed him because he was a great orator. He was quite a larger-than-life character, so it seemed. But people followed Jesus for other reasons. He became very, very popular from that first introduction, if you like, when he was dropped in at the deep end by his mother at a wedding. You remember that story? And Jesus was there with him. I mean, my mother was the same in some ways as Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the woman across the road, when I lived at home with my parents, the woman across the road would talk to my mother and say, my kitchen tap is leaking. And my mother would say, he'll fix it. He'll get the boy to fix it. I wasn't a plumber. Certainly nothing like that. Somebody down the road would talk to my mother about something that needed doing in the garden. She wanted the grass cut or the hedge trimmed, and my mother would say, he'll do it. Jesus was at a wedding with his friends. His mother was there too. And somebody came and said to Mary, they've run out of wine. Don't worry. The boy will sort it. And Jesus said, no, don't involve me. It's not. Yes, you'll do that. That was his introduction. And from then on, people began to take note of Jesus, what he said, what he did. Crowds began to follow him. He became popular, not only in his own region of Galilee, but also in Samaria and in Judea. Those areas on the west side of the River Jordan. Today, we refer to them as the West Bank. So when you're watching TV and they're talking about the West Bank, it's Judea and Samaria where Jesus used to live and walk and work. People gathered around in his home area of Galilee. He became so popular, and the religious leaders in the area, in the little townships, they began to get a bit worried. This man was taking attention away from them and their religious work. They began to get annoyed and they began to get rather agitated. So they sent a message to Jerusalem, to the top brass, if you like, of the Jewish religion based in Jerusalem. We've got a problem here up in Galilee. We've got this fellow who's going around and he's teaching. Some say he's teaching because he knows what he's talking about. He's got authority. He's performing miracles. We can't do that. Can you send somebody to sort him out? And so Mark records in his gospel, in chapter 7, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem, they gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating food without having washed their hands. In religious terms, they were unclean, and they came to Jesus. These religious leaders came and they were nitpicking. They weren't saying, oh, look at the wonderful things you've done. They've said, why don't you teach your disciples to wash your hands, to wash their hands? They'd come 80 miles or so, walking from Jerusalem to Galilee. 80 miles, that's here to Oxford. Hey, have you ever walked that distance? Well, these religious leaders were so involved, so intense, to put down this upstart youngster. They come the 80 or so miles from Jerusalem to Galilee, and they begin to attack him verbally. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you've got the right to do these kind of things? Why are you taking people away from the synagogues? And people are coming around you to learn about God and not listening to the rabbis in the synagogue. And Jesus' popularity was still rising, but he was now facing opposition. So he says to his friends, those who were following him, hey, let's clear out, let's leave this behind. I don't want to get involved with an argument with these guys. It's not my business here to turn over what they're saying. Let's leave. And he walked away. Do you sometimes feel that people are getting at you, that people are attacking you in some way? What do you want to do? Do you want to react? Do you want to fight back? Or would you follow the lesson of Jesus and walk away? He says to his followers, let's go for a walk. So they go with him. And he walks from Galilee. And he goes north. And he travels across west. He's now into an area known at the time as Phoenicia. It's part of Lebanon today. And Mark says, so they left where they were and they went to the vicinity of Tyre. You heard of Tyre? It's been in the news in the past three or four weeks, at least. Jesus went there. It's now the focus of a lot of bombings and rocket fire. So Jesus left his enemies, if you like. He left his enemies in Galilee, those Pharisees from Jerusalem, and he travels north and west, and he comes to Tyre. Tyre wasn't the friendliest of place in the first century, as far as Jews were concerned, as far as Jesus was concerned. Oh, at one time, the king of Tyre, Hiram the First, I've done my research. Hiram the First, king of Tyre, was a friend of King David. Remember David, the shepherd king? Hiram and David were friends. In fact, when David said, I want to build a palace for the king. I want to build a place where the kings of Israel may live. Hiram said, I'll send you some wood. We've got some great stuff here. Cedar wood, beautiful. And it's got a lovely fragrance to it as well. And so Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent not only wood for the palace, but later on, when Solomon became king, Hiram sent more cedar wood, and he sent carpenters too to help build the temple in Jerusalem. So there was a friendship between Tyre and Israel, the kingdom of Tyre. But then things changed. One of the princesses of Tyre came to Israel and married the king, King Ahab by this time. Her name was Jezebel. Oh, remember her? And Queen Jezebel came from Tyre. Tyre became enemies eventually of Israel. And that enmity continued through the centuries. So Jesus was leaving Galilee with enemies there, and he heads towards enemy territory in Tyre. And together with his followers, they come to this area, which is now very much part of Lebanon. what his disciples thought. Hey, wait a minute. It's about 60 or 70 miles from Galilee to Tyre. What did they talk about when they walked along? You ever wonder? Where did they stop? Where did they stay? Because it would have taken, well, let's say, walking 3 miles an hour, could have taken a bit of time. Did you ever wonder about the journeys? And when they come to this enemy place, this territory that was very much opposed to people from Israel, Jesus goes into a house and stays there. Do you ever ask questions when you read, who did he know in Tyre? Or was this house a first century form of Airbnb? Did he book in advance? He goes into a house in Tyre with his followers, 12 of them. That's quite a big group, isn't it? He didn't want anyone to know that he was there. But he finds somewhere to stay. We don't know how long he was there. But news got around about him. If you like, the fragrance was being shared. People got to know that Jesus was there. This foreigner from Israel, from Galilee, is now in Tyre. And a woman gets to hear about him. She is of Greek origin. What was she doing in Tyre? Don't you see? Asking questions is quite good because it sets your imagination running, doesn't it? This woman from Greece, now living in what was called Phoenicia. And she's got a problem. Her daughter is unwell. She finds out where Jesus is. And she comes and asks Jesus to do something about her domestic situation. Her daughter is seriously unwell. She is possessed by an evil spirit. And she tells Jesus, I believe you can do something about this. And he said, I'm not here for you, you know. Back where I come from, says Jesus to the woman, back where I come from, in Israel, you know what they call you? You people in Tyre? They call you dogs. That's not very polite, was it? Rather rude to call somebody a dog. So the woman responds. Even if we are dogs, she says, even if we are dogs, surely we can eat up the bits of crust that fall off the table. We might be dogs, but we do have needs. Can you see the smile on Jesus' face when she responds? Oh, Mrs., he says. Well, maybe he didn't say that. Hey, you, that was a good response. Hey, I like that. I like your attitude. And they talk. In fact, just thinking about it the other day, there was a news report. I can't remember whether it was on BBC or on Sky News, but there was a news report, an interview with somebody from Tyre who'd recently been bombed. And you know what this man said? These dogs from Israel, they've done this. Oh, the old terminology is still there. The old fight between the two, still there. And the woman says, but hey, even the dogs can feed from the scraps that you might offer. And Jesus says to the woman, go home. Your daughter is well. And she goes and finds that that is the case. Can you imagine what Jesus' followers were thinking, might have been thinking? What's he doing? Who does he think he is? They, at the time, only knew him as the preacher, the rabbi, the teacher. Not the savior or not the king over all kings, no. His followers were ordinary human folk like us, and they're totally bemused. And Jesus is trying to get a message across, maybe to them, that no one is outside of God's love. No one is separate from God's desire for blessing upon people, even the enemies that we might call, or people that we might call enemies. God has a place for them. God has a love for them. So here they are in Tyre. It was a whole new experience for some of them. Not just the story of the woman. Some of these folks from Galilee hadn't traveled all that far before. Some of them were fishermen on Lake Galilee. Oh my! Their lake seemed enormous. And now they come to Tyre. And Jesus says, we're going home. We're going home, folks. But he doesn't take the direct route. From Tyre, he goes about 20 miles north to a place called Sidon. Oh, that's been in the news recently as well. And they go to Sidon. Sidon, a little bit like Tyre, is a seaport. Seaport. And the followers of Jesus, maybe especially the fishermen who are used to being in little fishing boats, they're standing there at the edge of this sea. It's the Mediterranean. See, where does it end? And they're standing on the beach at Tyre or at Sidon, and they're seeing big ships, well, comparatively, compared to the little fishing boats, and they're seeing great ships, and they're disappearing out beyond the horizon, and the sea is never ending. Jesus is introducing them to a wider world. And eventually, they do move on. And so from Galilee, they've gone north. They've gone west to Tyre. They've gone north to Sidon. And then the long way back home. Mark records that whether it's at Sidon or whether it's on the way back to Galilee, they are met with a young man who can't speak or can't speak properly. A young man who is deaf, can't hear. And they brought this man to Jesus. And they begged Jesus to work a miracle. The story got around. People got to hear about Jesus and the marvelous things that he was doing. So they come to Jesus with their need. And the followers of Jesus are again watching and learning. And Jesus does something rather strange. Well, he seemed to do a lot of strangeness, did Jesus? And he comes to this man, this deaf man, and he pushes his fingers into the deaf man's ears. Ooh. A few months ago, I was with my great-grandchildren down in Cornwall, and I was sitting with one of them on my knee, and we were talking and playing together. He's only three, and as he sat on my knee, he shoved his finger up my nose. Oh. It was uncomfortable. I removed his finger and wiped it clean. Ooh. But Jesus shoves his finger in this man's ears. And then he does something even more peculiar, more strange. He spits. Mark doesn't say whether he spat on the ground or spat on his hand. And then the next thing Jesus does, after having spat, he takes his finger and he pushes his finger onto the man's tongue. And the man's tongue is released. My granddaughter, when she was born, one of my granddaughters, when she was born tongue-tied. You know that little bit of skin? You know, when you look in the mirror, and there's a little bit of skin under there. That had been extended in my granddaughter Hannah's tongue. And so soon after her birth, surgeon had to nip that little bit of skin to release her tongue because she couldn't feed properly, because babies need their tongue to feed properly. And so Hannah had to have her tied tongue unloosed, just like this man in Mark chapter 7. Jesus did some strange things, and his followers were watching, spitting, pushing his finger onto the man's tongue. And Jesus was teaching his friends, his followers, some lessons for them that they were going to be faced with in a few years' time, when they went out into their world to bring about change in the lives of the people that they met, enemies or friends. So what can we learn from this story of Jesus and his enemies? That no one is an enemy. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Can I ask you, hey, do you do that? Have you got enemies? Or people that you classify as an enemy? Jesus wants you to look on your enemies and pray for them and love them. That's what he did. That's what he showed us. Sometimes when you're, as human beings, when we're under pressure and there are things said about us or things that go against us, sometimes we personalize that back and we want to fight to justify ourselves. I've got a friend that I meet. Maybe not enough friend. He's more of an acquaintance. But I meet up with him and one or two others in the course of most weeks. We meet in an hostelry, a little pub up in Upper Gornal. And this chap, he really is remarkable in many ways, very, very clever. But when anybody mentions something, he pulls out his phone. Two phones. He pulls out both phones and he Googles because he wants to show that he knows everything. That's how it seems to be. He wants to always to be right and always to score points off somebody else. So sometimes he is right, but sometimes he isn't. But he always wants to fight back. Jesus said, when somebody offends you, forgive them. When somebody says something about you, walk away. Forgive them. Love them. Seek always to do them good and not harm. So the visit of Jesus and his friends to Tyre was a learning experience for them, and maybe for Jesus as well. And he works always to teach us new things, new lessons to be learned. And this morning, in this service, we've been learning, we learned a new song. Maybe learning a few other things, because this service is preparation for what happens next. Preparation for when we go out of the exit doors into our world. Preparation to take the love of Jesus from here, to there. And Jesus takes his followers sometimes on a circuitous journey, a long walk maybe. And Jesus says, come with me. Let's go for a walk. A walk around Gaul. A walk wherever you live to pray for the people that you meet, to pray for the streets where you live, where we live, to pray maybe for the ambulance that drives by with its blue lights flashing, to pray for the paramedics in that ambulance or people who've been in an accident or incident. Do you think about that when you hear the blue light, see the blue lights and hear the sirens? And what about the people that you talk to? Well, the people that I talk to. What about them? What have I got to share with them? I'm not expert. I haven't yet arrived, as Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I've not yet arrived at perfection, but I want to reflect Jesus. And from this service this morning, that's exactly what God is inviting us to do. He's inviting us to go to our world and reflect the love of Jesus. Hey, you've been ever so good, you know. You've listened ever so well. Thank you for that. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can learn from those events over 2,000 years ago. You at work, the great teacher, teaching us too, showing love and care and kindness and compassion. Take us to our world, carrying the fragrance of Jesus wherever we go, to bring a sense of good, to bring a sense of God to the people that we'll meet today and in the coming days. Thank you for blessing us this morning. Thank you for touching our lives with your love. Take us out to our world to follow you in bringing hope and peace wherever we go. Bless my friends here this morning. Encourage all of us. No matter where we are at in our relationship with you, help us to deepen that relationship as we walk with you and learn from you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus.